Back to the Good American. We are joined here with another guest. I told you that this guy, I came across him by reading a story about him being a department store Santa Claus. So with that said, my next guest is denounced by the FBI, the DEA, FEMA, congressmen, and many other gangs and institutions of government. He's Jim Bovard. He's the author of Public Policy Hooligan, Attention Deficit Democracy, and about 8 other books. He has written for New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Playboy, Washington Post, New Republic, Reader's Digest, and many other publications. And he's here with us today to discuss not so much his appeal with the corrupt power and tact of policy in our country, but more about an occupational endeavor as a writer earlier on in his life, something many men or may have not considered doing once in their impoverished lives. That's getting a job as a department store Santa Claus. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So when did you write that piece, actually? When did this, like, when you played Santa Claus, got this job, how long ago was that here in Boston?
That was in 1977, and it was at a Filene's in the south suburbs. I think it was down in Braintree.
In Braintree? Oh, the South Shore Mall.
Yeah.
All right. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, what were you doing that kind of provoked you to consider a job like that at the time?
Well, I was trying to pay rent. The situation was, a few months earlier, I'd moved to Boston shortly after I dropped out of college. I decided to become a writer, and I thought it'd be easy to sell articles. It wasn't, so I was scrambling for money. Then I saw the advertisement in the Boston Globe. A temporary service was hiring Santa Claus, so I signed up for it.
Do you think at that time when you were trying to get work as a writer here in Boston, was it difficult, competitive, to get anything published?
Oh, yeah. It was very difficult, and it was made a little more difficult because I was not writing nearly as well as I thought I did. Things got better as time went on. I managed to sell a piece of the Boston Globe the following year, about 6 months after I did the Santa gig, and then some doors opened up after that. But, I was just scrambling to pay rent. And plus, you know, the thought of being a Santa Claus was a hoot. And it was my only experience in life being a minor deity.
You know, was it easy to do this job? I mean, did you have any apprehension, having kids sit on your lap? I mean, was that a new experience for you? Were you good with kids?
It was certainly a new experience to me. But it's not something I had apprehensions on because I'd done all kinds of jobs before, and it was a whole lot more fun being in Santa Claus than it was working baling hay or going to the Boston Freight Yard and unloading a railroad car full of Idaho potato boxes. it was much better, and it was a fairly simple gig too, because I was a restaurant Santa Claus. I was walking around talking to kids, and so it was fairly rare to have kids on my lap, which is probably why my pants stayed dry.
Well, we just had a band here. They're still with us. A comedy duo here called the Daily Grimes. They had wrote a song called Santa's Secret, and it's literally about that. James, why don't you tell him what it's about?
Well, the song is about the curious tale of a young boy and why he dislikes Christmas, because when he went and sat on Santa's lap, Santa had a boner.
A bump in his pants.
Oh, yeah, see?
There are lots of problems like that, and there were lots of stories which I heard of. There was a story that the boss down in the Filene's was telling about how in the previous year there'd been a Santa Claus. It would seem like he was perfectly normal until he's in front of a room full of kids and dropped his pants. And so I heard that story, and I made sure that to always double check the belt on my Santa Claus outfit.
Roping out too.
Did I bet you the parents were worse?
Oh yeah, most of the kids were an absolute treat. Quite a few of the parents were quite difficult. They were anxious. They were kind of upset that I didn't come to their table first. And you know, there was a level of anxiety from the parents, whereas it was sort of different with the kids. But there were some kids who were absolutely would go a mom like a statue and not say anything. And there was one lady I came up to. She was probably early 30s. She had like a 4-year-old daughter who had been very excited until I got there, and then the kid wouldn't say anything. So I turned to the mother and I said, "Well, tell Santa Claus what you'd like for Christmas." And she said, "No, I really should not." I said, "No, go ahead and tell Santa." And she said, "Well, for Christmas, I like to get laid twice." And I just said, "Well, it should not be difficult in Boston."
Just take them down to the combat zone.
Yeah, something like that. Who knows?
So, you know, as a child, I mean, you obviously sat on Santa's lap a lot. You know, what? How did?
I don't know if I did.
Really?
I was raised in rural Virginia, and I might have seen Santa Claus, but I don't recall sitting on their lap.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, what do you think as far as, you know, with a Santa? Let me phrase this the right way. Well, I mean, you know, what are the requirements kind of to become a Santa? I mean, you mentioned there's a lot of people around you crapping their pants, peeing their pants, showing up drunk, knocking stuff over.
It was, you know, basically, I think you had to show up for work and speak English. I think that it was, you know, it was a very short training session at Western Temp Services. I think it was probably about 28 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like they would almost take anybody, any guy who would apply. So, I mean, it was not like I had any special qualification, but it was a job which I really enjoyed because it was, you know, it was fun to see the sparkle in the kids' eyes. I mean, there were some minor problems. I have kind of a loud, zesty laugh at times, and some of the kids were actually frightened by my laugh. And there was this one little guy, probably about 7 years old, who was clinging to his mother's skirt, and his eyes were bulging. And I kind of said, "Well, you know, kid, what's the problem?" He said, "Santa, you've got a weird laugh."
Oh.
So I don't know how many years he had to spend in therapy because of that, but you know.
Our host here, Francesca Colvario, has a question for you.
What is the weirdest thing or, like, the funniest thing a kid's ever asked you for?
Oh, God. That's a good question.
You mean while he was Santa Claus or, like, these days, right up until now?
While he was Santa.
Okay.
While I was Santa Claus. You know, most of the kids were fairly reasonable. I mean, it was not a super affluent area, and I think kids had not gotten in the habit of asking for exorbitant things at that point. I guess the thing that was most striking was there were a couple kids who tried to yank off my beard, because I was wearing a fake white beard at that point. So I guess that wouldn't count as asking for a present, but it certainly made an impression on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does a department store Santa deal with a kid that he doesn't want on his lap? Like, there must have been so many times where you just wanted to strangle a kid and just drop kick him.
Well, I didn't want to strangle kids, but it was easier because I was a restaurant Santa and I wasn't trapped by having kids on my lap. And if some kid was really obnoxious, then I'd just say, well, you know, have a nice Christmas and find some other table to go pester. So it was fairly easy to flee the scene of the nuisance. But, I mean, most of the kids were good, and it just seemed like a kind of a wholesome, fun, exciting thing. And it was a part of what was nice about how Filene's did it was that there was no extra charge to see Santa Claus, that if people were eating at the restaurant, then it was all part of the deal. So.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some malls I see where parents have to shell out $20 to see Santa, and that's like highway robbery.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what are they paying for, really? They're paying for a picture. And your valuable time.
Runs that good.
Yeah.
Actually, I stopped, I've always told the story. I've stopped believing in Santa when I was a kid because of a department store Santa. Because he came up to me, it was me, my family, my brother, and he asked me right in front of my parents, "What do you want for Christmas?" And I said, "I want a my size Barbie." He's like, "Well, you know what? You're going to get that my size Barbie."
Mm-hmm.
And so I was all excited. I wanted it so bad. Like, I just so bad. And come Christmas time, I didn't get it. So I had a full-blown meltdown. I was such a brat. I was so upset. I just hated everything that morning. I was just so mad. And eventually my parents told me why. Like, oh, it was expensive. They had to break the news that Santa wasn't real. So because of the department store, Santa.
Well, it was interesting. There was, like, only one very clear rule for the job, and that is, never promise kids anything specific.
Right.
I mean, so because if the Santa Claus promised something and the parents didn't get it, then Filene would be hated forever by the parents. And so, I mean, it's sort of like being a politician on the campaign trail. Yeah, okay, well, I'll take that under consideration. Well, you know, I hear you. You know, it's just red shirt. So, you know, you're just kind of nodding and smiling and, well, okay, that's nice. Now I know. So, And the parents were maybe taking notes or whatever mentally, but no. So, I mean, there were certain faux pas, which I probably did, but that was not one of them.
Right. I mean, it makes sense.
Hey, Jim, do you ever feel the need during that job to take a drink or take a puff, like, on your, you know, step out to the bathroom or whatever?
It was sort of bad luck because it was there in that restaurant. It was right next to a place that had a really good happy hour.
What was the name of the restaurant, by the way?
Work. And it probably made my laugh a little bit rowdier. But, it was not difficult to step out of the restaurant for a few minutes, then hit the john and come back. So it was like, you know, it was pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. We just got to wrap this up, but I did want to ask you a couple things in closing here. You know, of your book, what's it called? Attention Deficit Democracy. That came out in 2007, and this is really not tied into Christmas or anything, but in some way, because I read some stuff out of the book that I thought was really cool. How has that book stood against the last 7 years or so? You know, are we worse spot in America, do you think?
That's a rough question. Well, you know, since the government's doing so well and acting so intelligently now and voters are so well informed, of course the book is out of date.
Yeah.
It's a long series of train wrecks, and it's funny. Folks called me cynical at the time that book came out, but since then there's been a lot to vindicate my skepticism about that government. And if you see what happened last night with the that bill going through Congress, and I think I might have an article later on today on USA Today on that. I've been going back and forth with their fact checkers this morning.
Okay.
It's sad to see what the government's become and how it's dragging down the country.
Sure is.
I fully agree. Thank you for saying that as well.
Yeah.
All right.
No, definitely check out. He's got a book, a couple books I'll show you that you should check out. A collection of short stories, but yeah, definitely shows the shape we're in. Well, Jim, I really appreciate you taking some time to talk to us today on The Good American. I've always wanted to talk to someone who's played a department store Santa and see what that was all about, what provokes them to do it. You seem, for the most part, well-behaved.
That's what it was, largely.
Yeah, whether you're for good or ill, I guess. You know, whether you're looking to make a lot or little or rob
well,
a department store.
Well, I didn't make much. I think it was probably $3.50 an hour or something like that.
Ooh.
You know,
well, that
it
was a different time.
Rent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wish rent was that cheap these days, but yeah. All right, well, have a really good Christmas, and, I'm going to keep touch with you and keep reading your stuff, and maybe we'll have you on again.
Okay, hey, thanks, Charles. Thanks to all y'all folks that have me on. I really appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Jim Bolvard.
You know,
you guys
insight.
Ever think about being a department store Santa Claus?
No, I haven't, but...
It's a sexist job, isn't it?
I bet you some women do it.
Do they?
Yeah.
But if I was a kid and I sat on a woman's lap and she was Santa Claus, I'd feel like cheated.
Awesome. Cheated? You'd feel
right?
Cheated?
Yeah.
No, actually, you know
would
it.
You be, yeah,
at
excited?
This age, sure.
You'd have to be a handsome woman, you know?
Yeah, a handsome woman.
I would totally.